Shoot the defense, the best podcast in the world. We're at it.
I keep saying Henry's a forward.
Richie, who's the best striker you've played against?
Henry.
And the fact that we are now taking our country and put our country on the map of world soccer, being the first African nation, the third world nation in the whole world to win an Olympic gold medal in soccer, you know, it was unbelievable.
If you're going to take the time to go and get a pig head and break my locker open and wrap my clothes in it, and send in a different message to me.
I've had to protect my family from going out into the street because you'll have random people that just coming up and abusing them racially. Even some old school managers who are British, they still have the same racial undertones like the man in the street who they're trying to condemn.
Time now to introduce a very special guest to this evening's show. Joining us all the way from the United States, the godfather of the Ultimate Fighting Championship, creator and co-producer of the show, Art Davey. Thanks for taking the time out in a very busy schedule to join us in this special feature. Only one place to start, Art, and that is with the mega brand, that is the UFC. Just talking a bit about your involvement when creating the UFC, what was your vision on how you were going to pitch it to the public, first of all?
Well, my original inspiration, I had a personal inspiration in that I was taken down to the ground, as it were, by a wrestler. But my original inspiration was Pancration. Now, you have to go all the way back to the Greek Olympics in 648 BC, and they added this to the Olympic program. It was virtually the tournament event that I had created. No biting, no eye gouging, but everything else was legal. So that was my vision, was to bring back the glory of the ancient world, which had actually inspired the Romans to create the gladiatorial games, really. So that was my vision. The second idea that I had was that it had to be in North America, Constantino, on pay-per-view. That's where big-time boxing was in North America, U.S. and Canada, and that's where the WWF at the time was big time wrestling in North America. So that was my original vision.
Brilliant. Brilliant. And we've heard on many occasions comparisons between MMA and boxing. How would you compare the two sports? And would you say MMA is now bigger than boxing?
Well, I think MMA now is a legitimate rival to boxing internationally. You know, one thing I've always said, though, despite the fabulous trajectory that MMA has enjoyed in the last 21 years in becoming a new sport that is really moved, quite frankly, close to the mainstream. You've had 16 or 17 UFC events in the UK. But I've always said that, look, boxing has been around for generations. It has deep roots. And boxing has had a roller coaster ride. You know, as the heavyweight championship goes, so goes boxing. And when boxing seems like it's down, it does come back. So I don't count boxing out, but it's obvious that the UFC today, MMA in general, because there's amateur and pro now from Norway to Bangkok, is right up there with boxing. Yeah. And who knows, in the next 20 years, it may obliterate many sports, including boxing, to really assume its paramount position that it deserves.
Brilliant. Which leads me to my next question, Art. Regarding the UFC, and is having one dominant organization like the UFC a good or bad thing for the sport, in your opinion?
Well, you know, in all fairness, I think that there can be some criticism leveled at a sport when you have a dominant promoter. But, you know, when you look at boxing, how many years was it that Don King was the preeminent boxing promoter, and there only seemed to be him and the Seven Dwarfs? So I think that charge can be leveled at the UFC. But, you know, here in the United States, we have Bellator, which is partly owned by Viacom, a very powerful TV entity here in the North American market. Yeah. The World Series of Fighting. You have Invicta, which is an all-pro female MMA franchise. You have ONE FC out in Asia. I think you're going to see a continued proliferation of MMA franchises, events, and promoters. Because in all fairness today, we now have amateur MMA that's growing. And, you know, that's odd because the pro sport came first and then the amateur sport. But, you know, I now talk to fighters and individuals involved in mixed martial arts in Norway or in the Netherlands or even in Taiwan. So this sport has truly proliferated and become international. And I think that we're going to see a lot of other promoters. You know, when I was a young man, General Motors was the preeminent car company in the world. Yeah. But when you look at the sales figures for 2014, it's Toyota. And I think the Volkswagen Group is now number two and General Motors is number three. Who knows where the UFC will be in five or 6 years?
Absolutely.
There might be a promotion that maybe is just starting out now that may be preeminent. And if I'm still around and when you interview me, you can quote me.
Brilliant. Well, another thing, headlines being made. CM Punk has signed the contract with the UFC. What did you make of his arrival to the UFC?
You know, they seemed to generate a lot of controversy when he signed on board. You know, the blog sphere was ripe with pro and con remarks about that. But, you know, I think it's inevitable that we're going to see athletes come in from other sports, wrestling in particular, both amateur and pro. So I wasn't shocked by it. I quite frankly think that it's a tribute to the success of MMA, that a number of athletes would look to cross over. I welcome it. I would think that it's a plus when you look at the bottom line.
Yeah.
Sorry, I think it's a testament to how UFC has grown that CM Punk would leave the WWE to go to the UFC, because not just because of the ability and the stature of who he's going to be up against, but the amount of money involved in it. I mean, I heard a podcast with Colt Cabana, which is another wrestler, a friend of his, and he said that one of the reasons why he wanted to leave the WWE is because they didn't allow him to have sponsors on his trunks, even though Brock Lesnar did.
Mm. Yes. I think that really is a good point, and I think it's a testament to the success. You have to remember that you have to go all the way back to UFC, I think 13, when I brought in Randy Couture, and I actually recruited at the time. I'm looking at it here. Tony Halme was a professional wrestler in the WWE at the time, wrestling as the Viking and Count Ludwig Borga, and it was a big deal for me to get a WWE wrestler to come over to the UFC. I think it's a testament today, and I think you've got that right, Stel, that somebody now would come over, maybe because of the sponsorship issue, maybe because of the sheer opportunity, maybe because of the integrity and the clarity of the sport, and would want to make that leap. Let more of them come.
Absolutely.
Do you think this will continue in the future? The UFC will look to other wrestling organizations for talent? Is this something you can see happening in the long run?
I would say so, and I could even want to pat myself on the back and claim some credit that early on in those first 10 or 15 UFCs, you could see me casting a very wide net, bringing in professional boxers, bringing in a former Yokozuna from Sumo, and bringing in a professional wrestler like Tony Halme to compete with Randy Couture. So the template, Constantino, is there. It's been there for more than 20 years. Let them come.
Brilliant.
We should welcome them.
And if we can just concentrate now a bit more on a personal note, your book, Is This Legal? If you can just tell us a bit about the idea behind the book.
Well, you know, the book was interesting because I had been approached over a number of years by a number of people about writing a memoir to tell the story. Because, you know, the book talks about the 4 years from the time that I had the seminal idea and I was trying to interest an advertising client for a company I worked for in the idea, and then November 12th, 1993, when we actually staged the first event. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the book details and chronicles the struggle that I had. First, I had to convince Horion Gracie that the Gracie Challenge wasn't the way to go. We needed a tournament, needed to be on pay-per-view, needed to be bigger. Then I had to convince the people in television in North America. I was turned down by HBO, Showtime, ESPN. And then I had to convince Semaphore Entertainment, who was partly funded by BMG in Europe, Bertelsmann's Music Group, to invest in this wild and crazy idea. And after that, I had to convince 10 athletes to put their reputations on the line and come to that first event. I dedicated the book, Is This Legal, to them, the 10 men who stepped forward when a lot of people turned me down. And by the way, Constantino, the title of the book comes from what Chuck Norris said to Horion and I when he was asked to be a color commentator at the first event. All he kept saying to Horion was, is this legal? Can you guys redo this? Will the National Guard show up? Is this something that's actually legal in the state of Colorado? So it was a dogfight. It was a battle.
It's remarkable to see how far the UFC has come. And yourself, and do you still have any involvement with your organization, going to events and so forth?
Not that frequent, to be honest with you, although I was very pleased and gratified where in October of 2013, I got a phone call from Dana White. And he said, Art, I'm over here. We're watching the Fox documentary, 20 Years of Fighting.
Yeah,
and he said, that. Really, your show for the first hour. He said, Lorenzo, Frank, and I wanted to invite you to be right by the Octagon for the 20th anniversary show, November 16th of 2013. It was a big thrill for me because I was seated at that show, Constantino, with Horion Gracie on my right, Campbell McLaren from Semaphore Entertainment on my left. Seated right in front of me to my right was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Wow.
And right behind me, over my left shoulder, was Leonardo DiCaprio. So it was a great honor.
A special moment, I'm sure. And just before we leave you, if you can tell us a bit about your new venture and organization, X-Arm, I believe is the name of that organization.
Well, you know, I'll be very brief about X-Arm. A company had approached me to see if a new sport could be developed. We spent 4 years with boot camps. We did some events. We had Endemol USA was our game partner. We had Sally Ann Salzano, the producer of Jersey Shore.
Ooh.
The most successful cable show at that time in America, was going to be the showrunner for a reality show. Mark Itkin from William Morris Endeavor, one of the most successful television agents who had developed so many of the great reality shows in America, was on our board of advisors and a stockholder. And we tested it, but quite frankly, the fan support for it on our online shows on the internet indicated to us that we probably had pulled the trigger on the wrong gun. So yeah. Right now it's currently on hold, but I like to point to it to suggest to people that I was always an out-of-the-box thinker, always willing to push the envelope and try new things.
Is there something that could develop in the future? Is it on permanent hold, or could we see something developing in the next few years?
We're still talking to some people, and you never know. Sometimes the timing of a particular development, a new thing, an innovation, has to be right. When you think about it, maybe if I had come along 5 years earlier with the UFC, it might not have been successful. Maybe it wouldn't have been successful 5 years later. Sometimes luck, serendipity, being in the right place at the right time can make the difference between a success and a failure. So we'll see. You never know.
Well, it's a pleasure. Really honored to have you on to today's show.
Let me add, if I may, that any of the listeners for your Shoot the Defense show here on Radio 103.3 in the UK, if any of them would like to read the book, they can read it at a 50% discount, 50% off. I'd advise them to go to the publisher, www.ascendbooks.com, ASCENDBOOKS. And when they go on that website, click on the shops button that's on the top and look for the book. It'll be right there. And all they've got to do to indicate that they were listening to this show is enter the promo code LEGAL50, Legal 50, and they'll get 50 cents off the book in the 50%. The book, I believe, is selling for $26.95 on Amazon UK, so they'll be buying it at half price. And as you guys have found out, the book tells the inside real story of how this whole thing started.
There you go.
Like I say, it's a remarkable book. I've read it from cover to cover. But yeah, Art, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you for appearing on the show for the interview. And you were saying?
Let me say, it's been a pleasure, gentlemen, and cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you very much. And hopefully we'll speak to you soon. You can come on again and talk more about UFC.
I would welcome it. Gentlemen, it's been a pleasure.
Pleasure's all ours. Thank you very much, Art.
Thank you
very much. You have a good day.